Thank you, Honorable Chair members. I am not Sipol Naba, I'm the Director General of the Department. I have with me here the senior managers of the department, and I will allow them to introduce themselves.
Well, my name is Fundiselem Kekeni, Deputy Director General of the Department of Conservation.
Shama Bada, Deputy Director General of Corporate Affairs.
Judy Beaumont, Acting Deputy DG International Corporation.
Okay, behind me I have the CFO.
My name is Esther Makada, Deputy Director of the
If you don't, then you will refer that to another meeting.
without any waste of time, I'm going to request that Mr. Naba meet with the congregation or maybe advise us as to how are they going to present to us. Over to you, you are welcome. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to firstly request that you accept the apology for water affairs. Mr. Nkova has, the minister and the DG of water affairs are overseas in the US. The minister is the president of MCAW, which is the committee that deals with water in the African continent. And they are there up until Friday this week. So I think she is the acting DG. Probably she did not make them the arrangements. She thought that she could accommodate them on another time slot. So if it's in order, Chairperson, I'm requesting that you note that apology up front.
My request was that after you have presented then you have someone from the department directly, formally raising the apology so that it can be referred.
Okay.
But now that you have dealt with it, it's fine. I also want to note that you have also apologized for the minister.
Yes.
And
the deputy minister.
Deputy minister.
Yes. Okay. On that note, honourable members, I'm going to present our strategic plan for vote number 29, which would be presented by the minister and the deputy minister to the NCOP on the 18th. I think it's scheduled for the 18th of May. My presentation is a summary of this detailed document, which was tabled formally during the first week of March as we were directed by Parliament. And honourable members, just by way of understanding that all the branches are represented in this meeting today, and the structure is on page, on the very first page of the document in terms of how we are structured as an organisation. So I will quickly then go through the presentation in the summary of what is in the strategic plan so that members, honourable members, if there are other questions that have not dealt with in my presentation, we can then feel comfortable going back to the strategic plan. In terms of then the presentation, I will deal with the overview of the function, the legislative framework, and then our strategic plan overview, and then what is reflected in the budget that was tabled by the Minister of Finance, which is the estimate of national expenditure. And the CFO would then come in also at that point, the Chief Financial Officer of the Department. Honourable members, the Department's work is in terms of the Constitution outlined under Section 24B of the Constitution, which then reflects that all South Africans have a constitutional right to an environment that is not harmful to their health or well-being, and have to be protected for the benefit of the present and future generations. That then also, in terms of the Constitution, makes the function to be a concurrent function. National does and gets allocated budget at a national level, and then provinces have their votes that actually focus on this functional area. And from time to time, we do have support programs, which I will talk to in that regard, that we have, wherein we have a common interest with the province in terms of supporting the capacity and even financing some of those interventions. In terms of this strategic plan, it responds to some of the issues that have been raised in the State of the Environment Report of 2007. which demonstrated the condition of the or the status of the environment overall in our country, with a reflection that is not quite good. There are indications of greater deterioration of the environment, and therefore, as this department, we are charged therefore with the responsibility to come up with response measures to those challenges. And therefore, that slide then outlines things like the issues of greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide emissions in the atmosphere in particular. South Africa ranks amongst the top 20 countries in the world. And in essence, we are one of the big emitters. And in respect to pollution of water and air quality, again, here in this area, there are indications that our water is quality has been deteriorating, and you must have heard from time to time things like cholera outbreaks because of waterborne diseases that arise on the basis of the state of the quality of water. In respect to air, we would want to continue with interventions that would ameliorate the challenges of air quality, in particular in the high veld and in other areas, and Durban South in KZN. We have a very poor state of waste management in the country, and as it may be demonstrated by what you see, when a lot of littering and also the spread of waste that is within the landfill site that even traverses distances from where the landfill site is, that then reflects the kind of poor state of waste management in our country, let alone the areas of hazardous waste or healthcare risk waste. As you may have heard from the newspapers recently, where we have had incidences of illegal dumping of medical waste in the Free State. In respect to fauna and flora, the plants inland and also animals, also even in the sea or in the ocean environment, are being exploited in an unsustainable manner. And we also have the report indicating that an estimation of 50% of our wetlands has been destroyed or converted to other form of uses, and that then compromises the integrity of those systems in terms of them providing natural purification systems for our water resources. Honourable members, then I'm not going to go into details in all the other, this is further detail that outlines the indication and gives an indication of the challenges that we face, including the rate of spread of alien plants or alien species, even animals, even in some instances sea species that can threaten our biological diversity and even to a certain extent water availability, because some of those species tend to be more great water users and because of their root systems, some of the plants go further underground in terms of their root system and have greater access to water, which is also evaporated through the upper parts of the plant, the leaves and so on. We do have a challenge of unplanned development along the coast, and the Coastal Management Act, which came into effect in December, is supposed to be a response to manage and control developments along the coastline. In respect to then slide number 7 that reflects the overview of the functions for the department, we have environmental quality and protection, a branch which focuses on protecting and improving the quality of and safety of the environment, both in terms of air quality management and waste management. It's the same presentation, all of the members. It's the next slide.
They have a full
okay.
So, all have
that's the full strategic plan, and
but
then you have the
yes.
On the presentation, I have the slide. Can you make sure you have copies? I'm now page four.
Page four,
slide 7. Okay, I was giving an outline of the line functions of the department in terms of the branches. We have environmental quality and protection, which is the branch that focuses on the quality, improving and protecting the quality of the environment, in particular dealing with waste management and air quality management, both development of legislation and policies and implementation mechanisms. Then the next one is the biodiversity and conservation focus area. We have a branch also that's led by DDG that seeks to focus on the conservation and sustainable use of natural resources, in particular in the terrestrial environment. And then the oceans and coastal management is a branch that is focusing on overall coastal management and research and science in terms of the oceans being important for climate change understanding and also the diversity of the sea species or the coastal and ocean species. So the marine protected areas conservation falls under that branch. And then we have the corporate branch is the one which is the chief operating officer, the international unit, as well as corporate affairs, which are not spelled out there. In terms of the legislative framework, honorable members, we have the umbrella legislation, which is the National Environmental Management Act of 1998, which is a regulatory framework for the management and protection of the environmental resources, including the coordination and institutional arrangements. Then we have the Protected Areas Act under NEMA, also a special environmental legislation which also governs the setting up of the South African National Parks. We then have a legislation called Environmental Air Quality Act of 2004, which is also a NEMA legislation, which is focusing on the regulation of air and the quality of the air. And Biodiversity Act, which is also a NEMA legislation for regulating a mechanism for managing and conserving South Africa's biodiversity, its components and institutions, including the setting up of the South African Biodiversity Institute, SANB, or what you used to know as the Botanical Garden. They fall under that body. And then we have the Waste Act that was passed in 2008, came into effect last year in July, and that is for regulating waste as in a cycle from generation to disposal, including recycling and other waste minimization interventions. And then we have the Integrated Coastal Management Act, which is also a NEMA legislation that establishes a system of managing the estuarine environment and the coastal environment. this piece of legislation is then the legislation that remains behind from the transfer of fisheries function from the department to the Department of Agriculture.
The Constitution of the Republic?
I started with it on the slide, first slide, Chair, on the section 24 of the Constitution outlines this function, the functions of this department. Okay. Then in respect to then the next slide, we just reflect on the support that we provide to provinces and municipalities. We do not provide funds directly to local government or provinces. We have programs that we set up and work with them on an agreement basis. Our main focus then is providing policy guidelines, planning support that's aimed at environmental content, especially in municipal IDPs, and there are other support programs that are included in terms of the waste management implementation plans and coastal management, including the environmental impact management or environmental impact assessment. We've had a capacity building program with the provinces where, after mapping the state of affairs across the provinces, we then found that we had different structures both at the national level, and there's no uniformity across the provinces. Some provinces were quite thin on capacity in relation to the number of applications for development that they have to process. And we've had interventions then that support that, and those are the kinds of programs that we normally have with provinces. But with municipalities, we go to a point of funding even programs and projects that include greening spaces and managing spaces in those municipalities and waste management projects. In terms of then what's in the strategic plan, we have a vision and values, and our vision is that of a prosperous and equitable society living in harmony with its natural resources, and then the values are more applicable to the staff of the department. We seek to be truly people-centered in terms of making sure that we respond to the needs of South Africans. We try and subscribe to highest levels of integrity, including excellence, honesty, and transparency. We want to be an organization that is driven by productivity in terms of achieving our performance goals, and we also seek to ensure sustainability within the organization in the form of making sure that the human resources that we have are sustained over time. There has been a situation or tendency that we have a very thin structure and capacity to actually deliver on the functions, and we did an institutional review some years ago, and we've been implementing that institutional review so that we make sure that both the knowledge management in the organization and the growth in terms of skills and nurturing of the organization is realized. And then in terms of the programs that are then funded within this strategic plan, we have program one, which is admin and support. Program 2, environmental quality and protection. Program 3, oceans and coastal management. Program 4, climate change. Program 5, biodiversity and conservation. And then program 6, which focuses on sector services and international relations. And we have 5 goals, honorable members. Goal 1 is specifically about the key mandate of the department, and then the other 4 goals are focusing on how we then do the business as an organization one, growing and learning, a learning organization, two or three, and seeking to ensure operational efficiency, financial responsible and good governance, and then empowerment through information sharing and stakeholder, sound stakeholder relations. In respect to them, each goal has got strategic objectives, and those strategic objectives are linked to key performance areas and indicators and targets. So each of these strategic objectives then are in detail in the strategic plan from pages, and let me just say page 26 on the strategic plan. So I will not go into all the KPIs, which is the indicators and the key performance areas. Suffice to say that in goal number one, our strategic objective, one strategic objective focuses on protecting, conserving, and enhancing our environmental and natural heritage and assets. And then the strategic objective number two is that of focusing on proactive planning in terms of also managing and preventing pollution of the environment and the degradation. And then strategic objective number three focuses on our role in terms of climate change mitigation and adaptation. We are providing leadership as a department and coordinating with the key sector departments in this regard. And then a contribution to sustainable development, including an inclusive and green economic growth, and then contributing to a better Africa and a better world are the five strategic objectives. And each of the strategic objectives then are linked to key performance and areas and indicators. Now, on the other strategic objectives that are linked to the other goals, honorable members, the one on building a learning organization, we want to position this department as an employer of choice by virtue of the people that we employ and the people that we develop within the organization. Operational efficiency that is relevant in the current information age, we would want to then make sure that we have the systems and the delivery mechanisms in the organization, including process improvements that would enhance our efficiency. In terms of financial responsibility, we seek to promote equitable and sound cooperative and corporate governance, making sure that we outline to treasury guidelines in that regard. And then on the empowerment through information and sound stakeholder relations, would want to enhance our reputation and collective ownership of the various sectors. We have a wildlife sector that we have to serve. We have the coastal sectors. We have the sector that deals with conservation, whether you call them green sector, or we can even indicate that those sectors that are involved with conservation of plants and landscapes, we want to be able to partner with them and work for the common cause with them, because government cannot be all over and be able to reach all the areas. We rely on the other spheres at the same time also. We rely on civil society to actually reach out. And then in respect to the medium-term strategic priorities, the work that we've outlined and the priorities of the department are informed by the medium-term strategic framework that was was developed by the presidency, and at the same time this work also responds to the outcomes from the MNE unit, which is led by Minister Chabane. So we do make a contribution to speeding up growth in the economy, including creating decent work through the expanded public program, and we want to explore further the potential of a green job that can be realized by this country through the various sectors, of course. And then we are also systematically improving our environmental impact assessment processes, including further revision of the EIA regulation. We also seek to use the other instruments because the EIA process, the reason why it is also badly publicized as stopping development is because at times it is used for purposes that is not quite intended for. There are other instruments that are now in our legislation, like the environmental management framework and strategic environmental assessment. Risk assessment tools can be used to actually proactively plan developments and inform what can be done to mitigate impact on the environment before even considering an EIA process. In terms of rural development, food security, and land reform, the environmental assets make an important contribution to rural development, as it can be appreciated that most of that development is dependent on the natural resource base, whether you're talking about land that must have water and should be able to also be useful in terms of being productive for agricultural purposes. And then cooperation towards resolution and resolution of land claims, especially in protected areas, is something that we're working towards further cooperation with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. And in respect to education, again, environmental education is not just about awareness. There are core skills that are important for this sector to survive in the long term. And we are then in this area seeking to work closely with the South African Qualifications Authority to make sure that there is the kind of curriculum that is linked to certification that would more promote this sector, so that where people do not have to go to university, they can also go to other higher learning institutions and still get a proper qualification that they can use in contributing in this sector. And then in respect to waste management and air quality management, I've already indicated the link to the health, and if the actions and there is funding for undertaking air quality management function across the national and provinces, and effective waste management even at a local government level, that is a proactive investment that then minimizes overburdening of the public health system. And then on in the area of crime, fighting crime, we are, as a department, working closely with the justice in dealing with anti-poaching activities and other environmental crimes. And in particular now, the recent challenge that we are faced with is the escalation of rhino poaching. But in the marine sector, they would have challenges around abalone poaching, which is no longer quite our responsibility. The Ministry of Agriculture that would deal with that. And then on cohesive and sustainable communities, we would continue then to step up the environmental sector contribution within the expanded public works program. And in the area of the contribution to the developmental state, including improvement of public service. We hope that the department would continue to improve its sector monitoring and evaluation capacity, and we will then look at other ways of improving efficiency where it is possible. So, honourable members, the next slide just indicates the link to the monitoring and evaluation system, as I indicated, from the presidency, and the way our work then would be more in line with outcome number 10. The presidency has prioritized 12 outcomes, and the top priority being the first five, and then others being more cross-cutting and still important priorities. So we are then giving effect and leading the outcome area number 10. Then in respect to the money or the national estimates of the national expenditure, for the various strategic objectives we outline what is funded and how we then link the targets that we will be measured on in terms of our performance this year with the funds that have been allocated. We have the strategic objective number one, which is focusing on protecting and conserving the environment, and we have the indicators and targets like the bio-prospecting access percentage of access and benefit sharing permit applications that we will assess in this current financial year. We're saying 80% of those applications will be processed in time. And then in terms of increasing land, that should be part of the land that's under conservation or protected areas. Our target is 7%. The hectares of land that will be rehabilitated, we have about 811 hectares, and the other targets, honourable members, I will not read them in detail. On the strategic objective number two, again, there we outline what our targets are in respect to the indicators in terms of what is reflected in the E&E document. And then on climate change adaptation and mitigation, the work is just beginning because the department still has to develop a policy for climate change in the course of this year with the participation of the most critical sectors. And there is going to be a summit. There will be both a round table that deals with climate change and the Green Economy Summit during the month of May that will be hosted in Gauteng by the minister. In respect of contribution to livelihoods, opportunities and sustainable development, we target a certain number of training days, about 33,000 training days in this current financial year, and full-time equivalent jobs of about 10,000, and new work opportunities of around 20,000. So this sector would, and this department would contribute about 30,000 job opportunities in the overall interpretation. So on that note, honourable members, I then have concluded the presentation, and the Chief Financial Officer can just make the statement on the issue of the expenditure trends and our allocations, MTF allocations, as they stand now.
Where are you? Maybe before we get to the second part of the presentation,
okay.
I don't know if members would want to engage with the presentation on the strategic plan, or we give everything until the end. Would you want to engage?
How would you live until the end?
Okay. On the 10th, over to you, CFO. Okay, let's check. Do the members have the...
I'm just going to raise an issue here. I don't know whether other members have the same problem that I have.
You know, the presenter is there and you are in some other document and you come to this one, you get here somewhere and she speaks, you try to follow. What she speaks here does not appear on you. That is my problem, and really I did not enjoy the thing at all. I didn't enjoy it, and I didn't follow it. I don't know what the condition is.
Okay, Chair, can I check, maybe just to check, say, maybe, Honourable Member, which page, can the strategic overview, page 5? Should we go to page 5? Oh, okay.
Just number 10.
Okay. Slide number 10 is the vision and value.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see that you are the...
You are given the correct
document.
Yeah. Okay, the Honourable Member is reading from a different document.
Okay.
You are committing to become a truly people-centered organization that responds to the needs of all South Africans.
Yes.
This is a very powerful statement, and I want to commend the department for committing themselves to that. But I just want to understand how you plan, how are you going to achieve that?
Okay.
Maybe you will also be able for me to ask the how part.
Okay.
Of your strategic plan, but I will set an example. For example, in local government, they do that through IDP, which is also a process that doesn't come for free, of course.
Yes.
It costs a lot of money. Mm. But for you to embark on outreach programs, I would also envisage, of course, that there are going to be financial implications.
Mm.
So I have an interest on. On that, you know, to really, maybe if you can just maybe share with us as to how are you going to achieve that. It's very powerful, and I think that NCC is going to support that.
Okay.
My second question will be on your goals. Place 12?
12.
Yes. And one of your goals is that you are aiming to become financially responsible and accountable organization, giving value of giving value for money.
Yes.
Maybe also just if you can just share your audit report.
Okay.
What type of what is the auditor general say about your finances? And this one I'm going to have slide 16.
Okay, slide 16.
I hope my comments will be based on the correct slide, because you mentioned something about creation of different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Also creation of different jobs. I hold an interest. I want to know what type of jobs. What are you talking about when you say different jobs? Because our currency is a hot debate on that.
Okay.
Your KPI, you've just said percentage of land under conservation, and then you said your target is 70%. Does that mean that you haven't yet audited the land that is under conservation, or maybe it's a testing error?
Mm-hmm. That's
page 10.
Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10. Page 10
And then the same thing also with regard to the reduction of proportion of threatened species. Well, I don't think that would be possible for you to get a specific number. But I think with land it's possible because we can audit, we can do a land audit. Maybe the reason why members cannot follow, I think there are mistakes. Strategic objective 3 is supposed to be strategic objective 4. I'm sorry, I don't think it's for me to correct your document, but KPI is supposed to be on 3, your strategic objective is supposed to be on 4. So we actually mix the numbers, that's why there's the confusion. On page 11, your KPI is slide.
No, it's okay, that's strategic number 2. No, okay, I will clarify that. Okay.
What are the issues?
Okay.
What is the one that the big picture not detailed information?
Okay.
Two, your department takes a lot of care of the community in items and then delays the whole process of service development. How do you feel about that?
Okay.
And lastly, how can we ensure the health of the environment of sustainability and environmental aspects of the health in this state of mind?
Okay, how? Okay. How do we ensure the health? Okay. Okay. All right. Can I then, my colleague would come in also. Let me just deal with firstly the chair's question. Chair, the department tries to, the first question was dealing with the people-centered, how do we make ourselves truly a people-centered organization in terms of that value. And I think Chair, one, I can say that we run environmental education and awareness programs, and through which we then conscientize members of the public about the work of the government and the importance thereof. Also, at the same time, the manner in which we deal with queries and handling of inquiries, we have a service delivery a framework that we have entered into with managers here. Each component has got a target around how can we deal efficiently with inquiries. I can't remember now what is the minimum number of days just for handling inquiries, and we do give an analysis of that when we do performance assessments. At the same time, in terms of then even dealing with parliamentary questions, we deal with them within timelines. So our record speaks for itself in that regard, and we can go check from the parliamentary records that most of the parliamentary inquiries that we get in the form of questions, we process them timely. So we therefore, I think that is a value. We will never do it 100%, but I think we are doing far better than, and we continue to improve as an organization in respect of that. We also have a call center in the department for people to call in and get information. And we've been trying to also integrate that through a language policy in terms of people being able to speak and communicate in their own languages, but we have not been yet as successful in that regard because of the cost implications for translating all documents in the official languages as a department. So I'm saying in a nutshell, that is what we seek to do and improve, even in the area of decent jobs. Honorable Chair, I think we take it that we have, this has been defined for us by the President. We do not then get engaged in whether actually the concept of the decent job is real or not. We have been providing some job opportunities. They are not permanent in our case, but we think the value that those jobs provide, or those job opportunities provide, is very much interlinked to the skills that people get. And in some instances, I mean, land rehabilitation or even a wetland rehabilitation project would involve gabions. And it's those structures, those things that people can make by hand, and they are hand skills that people get. And in others, they get sophisticated skills like plant identification. Plant identification, normally you would do it if you really do biology or botany, but we do have a program just to at least make sure that the people that are involved in those job opportunities, they can identify what is alien species and what is indigenous or natural, and other methods of doing things versus the traditional ways of doing things also are things that we do explore. So we use both the traditional knowledge base that is there to make these things meaningful as interventions, but at the same time try and make them as modern in terms of the time that it would take for that project to be implemented. So that would be more my kind of response. Then I think in responding to the financial responsible and accountable organization, the CFO can add, but in terms of our audit reports, honorable members, we've always had unqualified audit reports, including our public entities have received unqualified audit reports. We had in the past a matter of emphasis on the issues related to register for asset register management. And those are the things that we've responded to and improved in our system. Right now, in this, for this current audit, I'm sure that will be a matter that we would have dealt with sufficiently. The other matter of emphasis that we had in the past related to the security of our IT systems. And recalling, I think even there we had put in place plans to actually improve on that. So we've had unqualified audit reports, and where we've had matters of emphasis, we've dealt with those matters adequately and put in place plans to deal with them. And in the future, we still foresee that we'll still get unqualified audit reports. And then in terms of then the other question on the KPIs and targets, honorable member, we have on page 30 of the threat plan, we show there, we have a baseline, which page 30 of the strategic plan, okay, I just want you to see, okay, yes, page 30, this document, on page 30, I'm just going to finish, okay. Okay, so on page 30, Chair, I'm still just dealing with your question. We have there under KPA, conserve, mitigate biodiversity, and then you have baseline there, which indicates 6.1 land under cover, land under conservation, and then our target being 7%. So your question was whether we've done the land audit. We have. That's why we have the baseline. We've looked and quantified what exactly is already under conservation, what land and percentage is under conservation, and then what can we aim for as a department, being informed by an assessment. There was a what was called a national biodiversity assessment that was done 2 years ago, and based on that assessment, we also know which biomes or which types of what is biome, which fell types and land types that are not covered in our current conservation areas or protected areas like grasslands. So we then aim to try and make sure that we acquire that land, which we can then keep put also under conservation. So in general, these targets are linked to also what we have here in the strat plan. We have a baseline, and then we have a target. And then the second question that you had, Honourable Chair, here, in terms of CAPE, of strategic objective number one and strategic objective number two, this is reflective of what we are funded now with in terms of the economic classification from treasure. It's not everything that we have here in the strategic plan. So there is no confusion that strategic objective number two is correct there in terms of those KPIs and indicators. I can clarify that further on if you so require. Then lastly, I think on the before I allow my colleagues to come in, honourable members, on the big picture question around the problem statement on the various causes of the bad condition, you were asking what is for cause. We can say, I mean, it's bad land management. Some decisions that were taken long time ago, which have impact, like if you are a farmer and there is a river close by, there has been a tendency for people to do a canal so that you water your felt or your field using that. So you were then diverting a river and therefore interfering with the natural system, without mitigating how then you would deal with problems. And then those end up then causing problems of erosion, because at times you then have high rainfall or you have floods, and based on that interference with the integrity of that river system, then that canal continues to expand and cause then degradation. So it's a number of things. It's both poor land management practices, some decisions that may have been informed by other people at the time, like if you were introducing an alien plant species in an ecosystem, people were bringing those for beautifying their gardens, not thinking that they would have other impact, and some other economic considerations were some of those plant species like eucalyptus or black wattle or pine trees are important for the industry and particularly the furniture industry. The others are important for the tanning industry. So it's more than that. We did not take the precautions to at least stay away from the river courses when we then set up those facilities. Hence now we have a problem of pollution of getting the seeds going through the river system and impacting downstream in terms of those invasives. So there are a number of reasons. They are economical, they are social, and they were probably also informed by what science was available at the time, or knowledge that was available at the time. And now that we know about some of those challenges, we then have to find a way to minimize and deal with rehabilitation programs to respond to that. So that's more or less what I can attribute, but my colleagues can also add. And then your other question about the how would we achieve natural resource-based management. Again, I think I will get Fundi to come in. We are from a culture, both in terms of protection. We've always thought it's a responsibility to actually protect the environment without making sure that society and communities understand the importance of that protection and therefore themselves own it, so that then they are the custodians of that protection, including then good practices in terms of land management. So I would ask Fundi to then add and my other colleagues here.
Thank you, Fiji. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, the last one on the EIA. Chair, I think we can bring to the committee the actual statistics. It is not true that we delay EIA. But let me now not clarify exactly what is happening. The environment is a concurrent function between national and province. EIAs and then the authorities is national and province. So there are applications that go directly to provinces that do not come to national. National only deals with national applications coming from another national department or a national agency. Most of the EIAs go to provincial authority, more than the national authority, which is ourselves. And we have done an analysis of exactly where are the bottlenecks. In that study or in that analysis, we have seen there have been backlogs in the Western Cape, there have been backlogs in the Eastern Cape, and partly Free State. The others were not so bad, but they were also in different, but I'm saying the top three were those. And basically, our response plan to support the provinces was informed by them. And we then appointed even consultants to go and help the provincial offices. We analyzed the structures. We realized that in terms of ratio, in terms of the number of applications that a practitioner deals with, an EIA practitioner handles, compared to national and the other provinces, there was variation. And we then agreed on some form of a response plan that each province had, because still that had financial implications if they had to go and make changes to their structures and appoint more practitioners and. So basically that's the work that we did in the province. Then over and above that, then we had a monitoring system. Every before min-max, every quarter, we get reports from provinces to say these are the numbers of applications that they received. These are the ones that they've dealt with. And we want to get to a point. One of the areas which we are funding in this support program is the electronic system, administration system for EIA, so that at the press of a button at national, you can see what is happening in a province, so that everybody, all of us, we are able to then assess what. Then if you have a query, we can tell you where is the problem. Because partly the problem has been that some of the developers, they take a shortcut and they appoint service providers, because they still have to, by legislation, appoint independent service provider or independent consultant. And when they appoint those service providers, they then do not look at their capacity. And then the application sits with the, because it comes to the department, they then refer it back because maybe the information is not adequate and all other kinds of reasons. And they do not come back. And they come back 6 months later, and then they still then blame the system that the thing has been sitting for 6 months. And they do not say that it's been sitting with the actual applicant or the consultant for that period of 6 months. So it's a combination of misinformation, and maybe we are not communicating enough ourselves, but once we have an electronic system, we can still decide whether we can make it public so that people, before they actually make those statements, they can also check the information for themselves. So that we can provide and present to you, because we know now, even in terms of the various provinces, where are the bottlenecks and where are the backlogs. There are backlogs, but even in terms of the old regulations, remember, we changed the regulations in 2006, and now we have revised them again. So we had to deal with the old system and clear that backlog from the old system. That backlog was cleared. And now we're talking about the 2006 and applicable regulations. Others were things that were not never taken through the EIA system. Like I heard from the National Assembly, there was a member there, an honorable member, that was saying in the Western Cape there is a Department of Public Works Development that did not go through an EIA process. And then what then we had is a measure for people that have not gone through the EIA process to then come back, and therefore we would find a way to then do a retrospective organization. So it is not always true. Yes, there are problems in some areas, but it is not as people really say it at times.
Hence my area for my own people center. Because I regard the department as a key role player in terms of development. People are not aware of legislation, the processes to be followed. People just remain in the dark, and people will,
Yes, Chair, while you're on that topic, I just want to ask that members look at the functions of this department, because they geared towards people. And I'll give you examples of that. For example, how do we affect health in the country? We are looking at air quality in the country, right? We're trying to improve the air quality in the country. Automatically, that's going to impact on people. And it's a long-term thing as well. We're trying to fix up the air quality in South Africa. So we mustn't look at it narrowly, what am I doing immediately? We must also look at the long-term perspective in terms of what are we doing as far as health is concerned. Waste. These are all things that impact on people's daily lives. So we got to look at what we're doing as a department and how it actually impacts on those people and their daily lives in the long run. So we've got to take a big picture view of it as well. And I'm just asking that when members consider what it is that the department is doing in terms of clearing waste, et cetera, water resources and so forth, if we consider it in the context of how does it benefit the people of South Africa.
Okay, can I ask?
I want us to conclude on this because I think we're wasting time. Our focus is beyond the
target. Okay.
Can I just say,
we do.
Yes.
I think on this, yes, we do, but I think on the EIA, it's a separate issue because it's not just only the ordinary. Yes, I think the municipalities, we have people that is placed in municipalities called environmental environmental officers that are placed in municipalities to actually assist them. Most of the districts we have already put people, and we're paying for those people in terms of salary, in order for them to actually assist the municipalities in understanding the work of this department. Over and above that, EIA applications are done by consultants who are learned, who should know better. If they are given that contract by the municipality, they should be able to deliver the service in accordance with those terms of reference. So it is not everybody that deals with the EIA application. It may be a little bit complex for an ordinary citizen, but we are always communicating what the legislation says and what it requires. But the actual implementation of the legislation at times requires that you have the authorities appointing the independent consultants as is required. So I think for the members of the committee, we can come and present legislation and how we simplify legislation to the various spheres of government and also to the members of the public. That is a program that we can come and present to you. Okay, Fundi? Oh, okay, so.
Yeah, Chair, I just want clarity on the issue of gold delivering on our mandate.
Okay.
The statement can provide leadership on climate change, adaptation, and mitigation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what the department has in mind in that statement. I'm reading it with this create a better Africa and a better world.
Fostering a global sustainable development agenda, including an international scheme for climate change. Now, what comes into my mind is the issue of the recent 3.8 billion that the World Bank lent to South Africa to build a coal-fired station. Now, it seems our statement contradicts with our action. Now, this one too, for the most part, to clarify how does those two things relate to one another? Thank you.
Okay, I will quickly talk to that and ask Judy to add. Honorable members, the Eskom loan, firstly, I mean, we have undertaken a work investigation that was called or titled Long-Term Mitigation Scenarios. In those scenarios, the department and the scientists that were involved with that work took into account what are the developments that are on the pipeline for the growth path of the country. One on energy, with Eskom, Sasol in terms of liquid fuels, and a number of other institutions. They brought their plans, and we had engagements with the key various stakeholders, industries, government departments and the agencies, and even with civil society. And what then came out there was then an indication of how, as South Africa, we can then aspire to a low carbon growth. We know now we depend, our economy depends fully on a fossil fuel, but it does not mean that tomorrow, because we want a future that is low carbon economy, we would automatically just drop what is already available and what we can make use of. So we are not talking in two tongues. The long-term mitigation scenarios are what inform the response plan for the country in terms of climate change mitigation and adaptation, honorable members. And we still have to get the sectors to develop the detailed plans on that. So as a global thing, in the strategically, the cabinet approved the long-term mitigation scenarios, indicating how we should then reduce our emissions to the atmosphere over long term. And therefore, Madupi, Kusile, and all of that were already factored, because those were 20-year plans of Eskom and SASO. They were already factored into that those scenarios. And even now, when we're giving our input to the World Bank, we were saying it's not a deviation. We are still going to grow our emissions somewhat, not too much, but then we'll start to level and then decline them in about after 2025 and have absolute decline on our emissions. So whilst they're still growing, then the part of building the Eskom, Madupi power station is part of that in terms of planning. So I don't know if we have to deal with the moral issue, then it's another discussion altogether. But for now, that was the real basis for us to support the Eskom loan. And as Environment Department, we had to give our input in that process.
Can I
say
that?
Yes, you can add.
I think just to add to what the DG has said, Honourable Members, I think that the key question is how do we transition? How do we as a country transition from being a country that is predominantly dependent on coal for energy to a country that has multiple other sources of energy generation and cleaner sources, renewable sources? And in terms of the statement by President Zuma in the first week of the Copenhagen conference in December this year, where South Africa made the statement that we would commit to reducing our emissions by 34% by 2020 and 42% by 2025. That is an intention that is measured against our growing emissions, as the DG has explained. So it's an intention that we have said we can only meet if we are supported, if we have support, finance and technology support that comes through the international climate change negotiations. But the issue is about transitioning our economy into a cleaner economy.
Can we then go to the budget presentation? Before we do that, can we take the member's first position?
And most of the increases have been related to inflation,
we are anticipating shortfalling in the outer years, you know, like from national treasury. We've also looked at, you know, like our donor funds that we receive, you know, like from overseas countries who are expecting a decrease in the outer years. And therefore, you know, like with the growing mandate of the department, those constraints might have, you know, like serious implications on our also with the speed of the department. We still have, you know, like structures like buildings and, you know, like systems to implement in the department because the speed does not, you know, like mean a shrinkage in the priorities of the department. So those are the challenges that we are expecting. And we are also expecting that we are going to be less flexible in, you know, like integrating our external and internal priorities, you know, like with other scales of government. And with the other, you know, with the other audits that are coming, mainly performance audits, where there's a shrink in the budget, we actually experience, you know, like audit exposure because we have moved the budget around. And for the situation in the constraints within the performance audit. In addition to that, in slide number 6, we therefore decided to raise our risk that we've identified. And our biggest risk, or our major risk, is, as we say, the shrinking test, which is rating risk number 16. And then, therefore, we're also looking at, you know, like the baseline, and saying that the insufficiency in baseline allocation can constitute, you know, like a higher risk in giving the rating of 12. And then, as we're emphasizing that, that is going to cost more than costing in the coordination of our internal development priorities and our internal integration of the priorities. In slide number 7, we're reviewing how our baseline has been growing as, you know, like we have been developing the inflation for environmental protection, air quality, conservation, biodiversity, and waste management, integrated coastal management. All that growth in legislation means our budget is supposed to increase. And therefore, we look at how our baseline has been growing in slide number 7. Initially, we had discussed about, you know, like a growth of 450 million for 2009-10, 621 million for 2010-11, and then going out past another billion. And then we are looking at extra, you know, like baseline allocation that we received from treasury for 2009-10, while we requested 250 million to receive 58.3 million, 10-11, 164.4 million, and then 11-12, about 581 million. And as we were saying, the department is shifted from writing regulations with core, you know, like information with our communities and local authorities in all areas of the environment. Therefore, that's why we're trying to, you know, like, request more funds to improve our baseline. But those are the allocations that we have been receiving from Treasury. And if you look at right at the bottom of this, you know, like slide number 7, the percentage increase, the real percentage increase, the real convergence percentage, is 0.01% for 2009-10, 10-11, 3.2%, and then 11-12, about 14.8%. And in trending these, like, basically, we are just, you know, like, trying to say how, what is it that we are going to prioritize for implementing like this environment. Therefore, the final allocation, which is, it means, you know, like, real budget growth, shown on slide number 8, with the cut that has been implemented and with, you know, like, analyzing what is it, what increases we really get, we realize that, right, the only increase that we got really is 58 million, so 65 million for expanded public works program, and then an inflationary increase of, you know, like, compensation of the economy. Therefore, all what it means is means that the department didn't really receive real organic growth. So it comes to 0.004%, 0.005%, and 0.006% in the outer year. And therefore, we look at also how the department, you know, like, has been switched as we're switching the tourism functions and the fishery functions. Initially, in the budget of 3.5 million, 1.1 fund 1.2 billion and go to the Department of Tourism. That is line number 1, 2, 3, or the line number on flag number 9. 122.4 million and go to the and all of that, you know, like speaking with the department like that, it improves, it actually reduces the economic expense, because you know, when you call it a budget, you can be able to shift funds, but when you receive a function like that, it does have to make a long-term impact on the department, which means we have to go back to the president to actually put the department to where it's supposed to be, to be able to find the economic then, in comparison with other departments, you know, like the economic clusters or the social clusters, we also look at our ratio of compensation sector. So many, you know, like employees, for this budget that is spent on employees, how much, you know, like, do we need of using goods and services? So that we don't just have employees who are sitting there not having enough money, you know, like, to take on their budget. The ratio that you are looking is at line number 3 and slide number 10, says, you know, like, current ratio. For every rent that we have for compensation of employees, we've got 1.6% to actually perform our funding. As we're saying, we're looking at different departments, as, you know, economic clusters, the administrative clusters, the social clusters. And then the ratio that we think we desire in the department to be able to perform our function is right at the bottom. We require at least, you know, like a ratio where we have a rent, we need about 2 rent to be able to perform our function. And if we look at the ratio, it is increasing at a declining, you know, like rate, because it is just inflation related. It doesn't take into consideration, you know, like all the extra things, like the new extra things of last year, it was the integrated system, we had made a little bit more money to be able to perform our function. So that is how we're analyzing our budget. And we also look at our foreign assistance that we've been receiving from international countries to say, you know, we have been having foreign assistance. In the current, you know, like, global, you know, like, landslide, are we going to sustain this foreign assistance? And that is slide number 10, for waste management, marine and coastal management, wetlands, you know, conservation, biodiversity. Members can be able to see that from 2006-2007 up to 2008-2009, our funds have been increasing. And if we look at them now from 2010 to 20, you know, like 2013, we can be able to see that those funds are decreasing. Therefore, that is going to place, you know, like more pressure on the department to fund the MCS and fund all those projects which we are supposed to run in the country beyond, you know, like donor funding. Then we look at how much we transfer to our public entities for, you know, like for their infrastructure development, tourism infrastructure development, and, you know, like as their operations. As we will change most of the budget in slide number 13 being transferred to our public entities. This is excluding the tourism that has existed from the department. So our transfer goes to South African Weather Services, the Itimangaliso Wetlands Trust, South African National Park, and then South African Biodiversity Institute, which are the public agencies that are carrying out the funding for the community. And then we look at slide number 14, and just to see what is it that, you know, that our public agencies are mainly doing with the money that is allocated to them. In a nutshell, South African services is obviously our weather forecast, our air quality stations, our monitoring stations, and, you know, like the modernization program of our radar stations and all these, you know, like the infrastructure. It's Mangaliso for, you know, like roads, ablutions, that is more infrastructure, tourism infrastructure, and all those other, you know, like revenue generation stuff that they need. Efficiency models, that is slide number 16, that has been requested by, you know, like national treasurers from department to reprioritize. Yes, the department is looking at alternative funding mechanisms where we can, you know, like PPP, and we are looking at, you know, like the major cost drivers in the department, how we can actually, you know, like, minimize our cost on the establishment cost, occupancy cost, which are, you know, like a high cost in nature. You know, like our rates, our electricity, you know, like electricity, we are looking at that, how we can reduce the cost. At And also we look at like the timing of our infrastructure projects, so that the law will sustain not to overlap the budget. And where, you know, like functions are non-priority in the department, we do away with them. And we follow a strict budget, you know, like control and monitoring process. We also adhere to PFNA, PFA processes and MPM in a way that, you know, like it's shown in the last slide. Our strategic planning annually ties, you know, like 1 year operating plan. We link our medium-term budget to our strategic plan. We've got, you know, like a strict, you know, like performance management system and quarterly reporting. And we always, you know, like do our reporting in time, the annual report, and also our annual report, and report, you know, like 5 years of actual.
The common question is, when is there zero in other years, financial years? Maybe I mentioned last year, 6 months ago.
On infrastructure investment, page 7, for instance, number 14. Okay. It's where you don't have money allocated by treasurer. The money comes in the another financial. For instance, on page 7, that's slide 14, weather services have the 92 million and 7 million. In 2011, they do not get anything in 2012. But that's infrastructure. They are given a once-off amount that is not continued in the other year. And then, in, for instance, in Simangaliso, Tukutuku, there's been a land claim there, and there's been an agreement between the province and national on what should be the development that could then support the work of conservation, but also of the development of those communities. And each of us had to budget ourselves, water affairs, land and rural
local
development
government.
And local government. So we did not get the funding for the year one, but they are giving us the money in 2011 and 2012. That's national treasure. Similarly, with South African National Parks, they're not getting the infrastructure money for this current financial year, but they're getting it to the outside.
Why is
this
income coming from South Africa?
If there's a
financial year
without
why is it
they say the financing is the problem. They don't have the money. If they had the money, they would allocate it now, but they can only bring that on stream in the outer years. So it's still medium term in that sense, but not quite in a strict sense.
The budget, I see on page 18 of this document, it says one initiative will be the recapitalization of the vessel for the research program, which will be coffee, coffee, so forth. But I don't see any provision money for that. I don't know your department is funding that. Only the your crew that go there, the rather than the scientists or whatever they go to it, where is the provision money there for the tax?
Okay. It's CFO, where is the money for Akala? It's in the transfers. It's under, let me just check when. SA Akala is remaining with us and the integrated coastal management. It's the research part that whilst we're doing the logistics. Capital assets, where is that?
Slide 7.
Slide 7. So have you seen it there? Okay.
Basically,
it's not broken down, it's included.
But in the transfer line, it was marine living in the depend about because the SOE account is about 1.5 billion over the year. So the time frame is also zero.
Okay.
I think you have to identify spending patterns for you to be able to achieve 99.94% of spending. And I think it's also very common to take a good thing or to take help. So I think one is to commit you for that. My first issue would be on the increase in the budget allocation in terms of the administration program. I think there's an increase of 64.7%. And you have transferred several to the Department of Agriculture. What specific tools have you transferred to the department? And then have you created other posts? And then has that been approved by the Department of Public Service and Administration?
I'm not sure on the where is the increase on admin, because the admin program one covers also the buildings. We are building a new departmental building, and now in this current financial year, because of this whole restructuring, we've had to incur more costs on IT. I mean, we had to buy servers for the new Department of Tourism and all of those other things. Those are the costs that would be reflected in this current year's expenditure. But in terms of the actual transfer of the function to agriculture, yes, the post in the memo, there is a determination by DTSA on which posts have gone to agriculture versus what remains with environment. That has already been signed off by the Minister of DTSA. And then in terms of then the new structure also, we had our structure approved by DPSA, but there are certain amendments that we sent to them last week for further consideration.
The other issue would be with regards to ensuring the sustainability of South Africa's natural resources and environmental assets. As we all know that that has been stated by the president on the international address. Your program two, environmental quality and protection, it has only received a 1.87 increase, while your program five, biodiversity and conservation, and program 3, oceans and coastal management, received a decrease of 7.46 and 5.50 after factoring in inflation. So if you can just tell us the sustainability.
Okay. I think, Chair, but I'll get the CFO to confirm. The key thing is that oceans would definitely have money, less money because of the set that we've transferred to agriculture, and therefore they started a low base. We still have to make our case to Treasury on that. And then on the environmental quality and protection, I mean biodiversity and conservation is the main program that should be of assistance to partly what then has been stated by the president. But the decrease there is basically linked to transfers. What has happened, our public entities work on the basis of accrual accounting. We work on the basis of cash accounting, and the CFO can explain what the difference is. But in the main, they will then say they do reflect when they have money. For instance, we give SEMPAS money to buy land. We have that target of 7% for land that falls under conservation. And that's in the target outcome of the presidency also. and we then transfer the money to Transempers because they are the ones that contract and get that land and include it in the park system. Now, Treasury, when they saw that amount, they thought it's surplus, or they defined it as surplus, and they started deducting or reducing the allocation to South African National Park. The same with what happened, that happened also to MCM, when it, in terms of the MLRF, they had a surplus, I can't remember, or an indication of money that was going to remain from the from their revenue, but that was committed for their own vessels and so on. But that then Treasury saw as an amount that was a surplus, because our public entities are not supposed to accrue a surplus per se, but it is not quite, it's more around the book entries that is an amount that is still there, but it's not yet used because they are not working on a cash accounting basis. They still, it's committed, like land purchases, it's committed to get to then the actual finalization of title deeds and all of those things that are involved with the land transfer. So that is the reason why their budget is seem to be going down, and we have tried to make that case to Treasury and explain it, and we still have to further try and explain it. Okay, you can add.
To add to what it is saying, as I was going to like to mention, the budget has been a combination of some states, which has been taken in part, and from the efficiency platform, each and every program, like in the case of air quality and protection issues program, there is an agency that is linked to it, like South African Weather Service. So as the budget is varied because of the transfers and the cuts and the efficiencies that are implemented, I think we'll be able to trend again, mainly after the transfer function, from 2010 to how they become. But that, those combinations have not been able to make us feel like be able to say exactly what are the budgets in the system. That's why I was presenting on the whole 0.01%, you know, what I'm looking at the statement. But there have been too many variations in the department.
Please do, we want more money, actually.
And that brings us to item number two, which we can register an apology. And then we can do item number three, but we can do that. We can end this. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair and honourable member.
Having heard that said, the minister and the deputy minister are not in the country, I suppose that the minister must set a date for the coming through.
Okay.
We need her, not him.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
No, we are saying she's two and something.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you in Denmark again.
In Denmark, Mexico.
Mexico.
Okay, thank you.